it is Ryan Seacrest here, and I have discovered a fun new escape from the daily grind, Chumba Casino. Chumba Casino has hundreds of social casino-style games and it's all free to play anytime, anywhere with daily bonuses. So get to chumbacasino.com.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 21 plus.
D-Mace, Vingen, and Donick, 102.5 The Game. Willie Donick, Derek Mason, Adam Vingen, and Connor Newt here with you. We just received word that tomorrow on the program, a special Tuesday appearance by Sportsnet NHL insider Elliot Freeman, our final chat with Elliot for the hockey season.
The season finale
of Elliot Freeman on D-Mace, Vingen, and Donick tomorrow at 5, because free agency is on Wednesday, and then Elliot is dumping his phone in the lake for like 2 months because he's going to be off from July 2nd through sometime in September. So we will have Elliot one more time to preview free agency tomorrow at 5. Remember, Matt Cullen, former Predators forward, father of 10th overall draft pick Wyatt Cullen, will join us in about 20 minutes as we look back at Friday's first round of the NHL draft. I'm sure the two of you saw the pictures circulating on social media over the weekend of Matt Cullen as a member of the Predators on the ice in a game more than 10 years ago with his three sons, including Wyatt, who famously grew 5 inches this past season, went from 5'8 to 6'1.
Whew. Man.
But it is, we'll have to ask Matt about that picture just because of how big his son has gotten, especially recently. But again, Matt Cullen coming up in about 15, 20 minutes. But I do want to take a moment to talk about the Tennessee Titans. Last week, Bill Barnwell of ESPN.com did his annual ranking of all 32 NFL teams based on their offensive playmakers, wide receivers, running backs, and tight ends. And in this year's edition, the Tennessee Titans ranked 25th out of 32. It's an improvement year over year from last year when they were last, 32nd in the league. So they move up 7 spots from 32nd to 25. But there's something in here that Derek Mason feels is disrespectful. So Barnwell, as you might imagine, highlights Carnell Tate, mm-hmm. Wandale Robinson, the returning Calvin Ridley. But there's a part at the bottom that doesn't sit well with Derek Mason. Bill Barnwell writes, quote, "Of course, if the three wideouts don't perform, meaning Robinson, Tate, and Ridley, there's not much behind them. Elik Iemanar and Chim Dike were overmatched in starting roles a year ago. The Titans replaced Chigakonkwo with blocking tight end Daniel Bellinger, and nominal receiving tight end Gunnar Helm averaged just over 8 yards per catch as a rookie. Tony Pollard continues to soldier on as an eminently solid veteran back, but the Titans need Tate to develop quickly to give this offense some much-needed star power." Derek, you are hung up on this sentence. "Of course, if the three wideouts don't perform, there's not much behind them. Elik Iemanar and Chim Dike were overmatched in starting roles a year ago. Why does that bother you so?"
First, you know, yes, Tate has to hit. Hell, he was the 5th pick in the draft. He needs to hit. So that's not saying something that everyone else isn't saying, because automatically he bolsters your pass-catching unit tremendously if he does hit, being that he was drafted so high. So that's a no-brainer. I look at the guys behind the top three. I think it's going to be more about whether Calvin Ridley can stay healthy or not. That's going in if he's going to sort of have these hiccups that he's been prone to have with the Titans over the last couple of years, where he gets the dropsies. So that, more than anything, I think I'm more worried about is how, you know, one, he stay healthy, meaning Calvin Ridley, and then two, does he have that period within the season where he's having the dropsies? Because even though I think Tate will become the lead dog, I think it's going to be critical at the beginning that Calvin Ridley is that constant professional, that constant guy, that consistent guy each and every week. That's what your quarterback needs, especially from a veteran guy like that. But then he sort of went behind those guys. And for him to just say, for Barnwell to just say, well, they don't have much behind them, I think that's the lazy approach. you had to understand these two individuals came in being fourth and fifth round picks. They were not expected to have the contribution that they end up having during the season. They wasn't. That's not what the Titans expected. One of them maybe to come in and spell, but not both of them. So both of them had to be thrust into a situation where it's not advantageous for a rookie, especially when you're dealing with a rookie with a first-year head coach, an offensive coordinator second-year head coach at the time, offensive coordinator that's the second-year head coach that isn't good. So you expect them to go in there. The quarterback is struggling. The offensive line is struggling. And also, because of all of that, the wide receivers behind them are struggling. If you look at their numbers, those two stayed consistent through the whole season. There was not this tremendous high and this tremendous low. They stayed consistent based upon the targets that they were getting. Now, I think one of them had a lot of targets end up the last game of the season. But based upon what went on during the season, I thought that they remained consistent players and were developing. Now you take two guys that were not supposed to play much, if at all. They get some experience. They know what this league is about. Now you put them in their second year. They know what to work on. A new offensive coordinator, a guy that knows what he's doing, and a guy that has proven that he knows how to put together an offense. So you put that all together with a second-year quarterback. I think their numbers behind the guys that are frontline guys are going to be better than what they were last year. Now, if they don't get the opportunity, it's not because I think they're not good. It's because the guys in the front line are doing so well that they're not going to get as many reps as they did the previous season. But no way do I go into a season thinking, man, if these frontline guys, they ain't got, nothing. And I ain't even spoke about Gunnar Helm, because I think Gunnar Helm, too, was put in a situation where he had to play a little bit more than what they expected. But even in that, he, like DK, like Elliott, they stayed consistent. Was it these big numbers? No, but they stayed consistent and they stayed developing. So I look for this year for those guys to take another step. That's why I think many in the building are so high on this room. It's not just because of the three frontline guys. It's what's behind them, what they've seen on film, that makes them think that we have a complete receiving core, and we haven't had that in a very long time.
I don't know what to expect from Calvin Ridley. I think that's a complete wild card.
Yeah, that's the question mark to me.
So a lot is going to ride on what role he's going to take. But for the other guys, I'd liken it, from what you're saying, D. Mace, to guys that were probably miscast as a number one baseball ace starter or an ace closer. But if you bump them down the ladder just a little bit, you settle in on the right role. I think the fact that they got all those reps on a bad team is hopefully a benefit for having gone through the fire and the exploratory phase of we don't have much. We got to throw you out there. We're going to play you every week. So they got a great evaluation on those guys, and they're not nothing. They've been out there. It's just sometimes hard to decide, like, what is a guy going to look like in that situation on a team that's better? And so I would think if you can bump them down and they find the right role, then you could have a reasonably good wide receiver room.
They don't need those guys, Alec and DK, to be 17-game starters. They don't need them to be. What they need from those guys, and it may not, when you say they don't have much behind them, what they need those guys for is for when the front line guys get tired. We got a little package here. Or those guys may go down for a game. You got to come in.
Yeah, so it's good depth.
There's not much behind them.
Those guys started last year.
They started last year. They produced at times. Listen, was it a 1,000-yard season or anything close to it? No. But if you paid attention to this team, I don't think you would have got many 1,000-yard receivers within this offense in the way that they were playing.
They were a mess.
Exactly. So when I look at the guys behind the frontline guys, Ridley, Tate, and Robinson, I see two guys, and it's probably even three or four, but I really see two guys that is going to find their role within this team, and Daboll is going to do a good job in making sure that he works on their strengths and do the things that they're capable of doing at a high level. He's going to work on that. And those you're going to see a, I believe, you're going to see a difference in Alec, one. I think you're going to see a difference in DK, but he's just an all-around player. But I think you're going to see a difference in Alec and how he approaches it. And he's going to, I think he's going to end up being that surprise guy at the end of the season.
I also like Helm. I think he really undersells Helm to me. I think Helm could be a significant player in the offense if he finds his role in this, because I don't know how this offense is going to look, who's going to get what role, but Helm can play, I think, as a pass catcher.
It's how does Debo use his tight ends? And
yes.
I don't think he's like a tight end in his offense. I don't think ever has, or was he there with Gronk in New England? But he wasn't offensive coordinator then, so it didn't matter. Was he in New England, Dable? I think he was.
Briefly.
Yeah, briefly. But he wasn't an OC. He was a wide receivers coach or something like that. But we just don't know how Dable is going to use the tight ends in his offense. And it may, the lack of production may not be because Helm can't play. It just may be because how they use the tight ends within the offense.
Let me correct the record. Daboll spent 11 seasons over two stints with the Patriots from 2000 to 2006 and 2013 to through 2016.
What was it, tight ends coach? Or
he was tight ends coach for his final three seasons in New England, 2014 through 2016.
Yeah, so it just depends on how they're going to use the tight end within his offense, but I think he's still going to be productive. And I think they got them a good tight end, a good young tight end in Gunnar Helm. But the guys behind Ridley and Tate and Robinson, I think they're going to be fine given their opportunities.
615-737-1025. Coming up next, former Predators forward Matt Cullen will join the program. His son Wyatt was drafted 10th overall by the Predators this past Friday in the NHL draft. We'll catch up with Matt and learn more about Wyatt coming up next. 615-737-1025. Willie Donick, Derek Mason, Adam Vingan, 1025 The Game. D-Mace, Vingan, and Donick, 1025 The Game. Willie Donick, Derek Mason, Adam Vingan here with you. We are pleased to be joined by our next guest. Let's go to our phone line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com, and welcome in former Predators forward, veteran of more than 1,500 NHL games, three-time Stanley Cup winner, Matt Cullen joins the program. Hello, Matt. Thank you for joining us. How are you?
Hey, great. How you doing?
We're doing well. Thank you so much for joining us. I know you've been on the interview circuit over the past few days talking about your son, Wyatt, being drafted to the NHL by the Predators 10th overall on Friday night. Now that you've had the weekend to process everything, has it sunk in that your son has realized a dream?
Yeah, it has been nice to have a couple of days to kind of just enjoy it a little bit, and we're thrilled for him. You know, he's our middle son, and it's just been really fun to watch his path. And this past weekend at the draft was just one of those lifetime experiences, and we were just so happy for him. And then of course, just going to a place that we're really familiar with and know a lot of people and have a lot of relationships, it was just extra special. So yeah, it was great. Overall, it's just been awesome.
There is a picture circulating on social media, I'm sure you've seen it, of you on the ice before a Predators game when you played here about 10 years ago, your three boys by your side. Wyatt comes up to about your elbow, and now he has shot up to 6'1" after recently undergoing a major growth spurt. For those who don't know, Wyatt grew 5 inches year over year from 5'8" to 6'1". What were the challenges for Wyatt in terms of his development as he grew so quickly, and how did you and he work through that?
Yeah, that's an interesting question. It was a process for him, you know. So he goes to the U.S. development team, and it's a 2-year commitment. And he was, you know, 5'6" or 5'7" when he started there, and so you know, you jump up and you're playing junior hockey as a 15-year-old, and so it was quite a leap for him, and I had a lot of reservations going into it, to be honest, just worried about his size. But he figured out a way to navigate, you know, playing at that level, and it wasn't easy, but he learned how to handle some difficulties and had to make a lot of changes in his game. And you know, the timing of his growth was about perfect. You know, he grew a lot last summer, But with that, there's always the coordination stuff. You know, he was always a really highly skilled smaller player. And then as he grew, you know, the feet and the hands don't always match up together, you know, as you're growing. So he put in a lot of work last summer, and that's kind of the thing that I'm most proud of is how much he worked at it and kind of had to spend a lot of time getting the feet and the hands working together again. And then he dealt with some injury stuff early in the year, you know, most likely because of growing so much and so fast. So, yeah, he had to deal with a lot. But, you know, ultimately, when he finally got his feet back underneath him and came back from his injury, he was able to kind of show what he could do. And so, no, you know what, like as a parent, you kind of see all these things, and it makes it extra special when he is drafted at that spot. And it just, you're so proud of him because you know everything that he went through.
Both Wyatt and one of your other sons, Brooks, will be joining you at the University of Minnesota this season. You are the director of player development there. How do you balance being coach and being dad? I can imagine that can get tricky sometimes.
Yeah, for sure. I've been able to listen since I retired. That was kind of the one thing. I just set a lot of things aside so that I could be with the boys. And, you know, they gave up a lot. They had some great experiences, so it's not like they gave up that much. But I was never around their hockey as young kids. So when I retired, I was like, you know what, I'm just going to make that a priority. As long as they want me around their hockey, I'll be around it. And so we've developed a great relationship through it all, and I've coached their teams all the way up. So, you know, like there's always some things that you have to deal with that dynamic. But I think overall it's been really good. I enjoy coaching and I really enjoy helping kids. Truthfully, it's the only thing I've ever done my whole life is hockey. So I love sharing my experiences with kids, and I do really enjoy coaching. So when the opportunity came up to jump in with Minnesota and continue helping the boys, but also help these other guys, the rest of the team at a higher level, it was kind of a cool opportunity. And so no, it's there's always that dynamic, but I think it's something that we'll be able to navigate. And I enjoy the coaching side of it a lot.
Now, Matt, what was the days leading up like for you and your family? And I know on draft day, I'm sure it was a little bit more intense. But what was it like leading up to that? And then once you saw that your son was getting drafted by the Predators, what were sort of the first words that you and him had after that?
Yeah, it was, you know, the one thing he had worked towards and hoped for was to be drafted in the top 10. I mean, every kid wants that, whatever. So, but it was something that he was really hoping for. So you know, like the day leading up to it is a lot of sitting around waiting, and it's something that's completely out of your control. So there's some nerves, and he was probably more nervous than I've seen him in just about any setting, actually. But we had our whole family there, so we were able to kind of spend some time hanging out and just try to keep his mind off it. But when he was picked, you know, first of all, in the top 10, that was just a huge kind of lifelong goal for him. So he was so excited. And then with the Nashville connection and the memories he had there, it was actually just, it added so much to it. So he was so excited. I don't think I've ever seen him so happy. It was awesome as a parent to see it.
Matt Cullen is our guest, former Nashville Predator and a longtime veteran of the NHL, 1,516 games in his career. His son, Wyatt, just drafted by the Predators in the first round last Friday. Matt, I'm curious, take me back, best you can remember. You know, I'm trying to bring the picture to life, but the day-to-day with the three boys when you're in Nashville, like I had a dad, a friend of mine, pass along. He can recall your boys playing in the little youth league. I mean, super young at the time, but just zipping around. They were noticeable at the time. But what was the day-to-day when you're a couple years in Nashville?
Yeah, you know, we had the two great years there. You know, so they were around the rink a lot. I think if I remember right, they were going to Franklin Road Academy, maybe. We were living down kind of in the Brentwood area. So they would have some school, but they did a lot of different hockey stuff. They played in I know they skated over at A-Game when that was up and running, and they had some great skills coaches and some guys that would – they played in some leagues there. Yeah, I mean, they just had a great life there. They did the school, and they played a ton of hockey, and there was all kinds of leagues, winter, spring, summer, whatever. Like, whenever we were there, it felt like they were on the ice. And my wife was always so good at getting the boys to the rink, and they would skate after our practices sometimes, you know, whether it was at Centennial or down at Bridgestone. And, yeah, I mean, they were just always at the rink, and it was just kind of our life. You know, my wife was an athlete, and she loved having the boys at the rink, and she knew how much I enjoyed having them at the rink. So it was great. We just had such a great experience. Yeah, they in all the leagues. I don't remember exactly that well. I do remember I was looking back at some pictures of when they were playing youth hockey in Nashville. It was kind of fun.
Matt, you know, you part of the team for the Minnesota Golden Gophers. I'm curious, how you look at the college game now, because from the Predators' perspective, I'm sure they want Wyatt to develop and advance his game to where he can make it to Nashville sooner than later. But at the same time, you're matching development with the team needing to win at the college level. So what are you seeing from the college game? Because you experienced that yourself way back in the day.
Yeah, you know, college has gotten so much better, I guess, as a level. It's gotten older and more difficult to play in just because it's, you know, you now are bringing kids in from the CHL and from the U.S., and so it's become so much more competitive. So it's an outstanding league for developing. It's kind of that great step between junior hockey and pro hockey. And, yeah, so for him, it's going to be a real push. Like, for all these guys, like, going into college, coming out of the junior level is an excellent step. And you see it a lot now. A kid like Porter Marton, for example, was drafted really high. He went and played at Michigan State last year, had an excellent year. Jumped into Philly and was a huge impact player for them in the playoffs. And so, yeah, I mean, it's a great step. It's a big step. He's young, you know, with his age, he should be going into his senior year of high school. So he's young. He's kind of fast forward in some things, but I think it's a challenge that he's going to love. It's like I said, it's a great league. It's as close to pro hockey as you're going to get. And so the development is really good. You get, you know, lots of training and weight training during the weeks, and they play their games on the weekends. So you get a lot of development opportunity during the week, and the games are ultra competitive. So, yeah, it's a great step for these guys, a kid like Wyatt especially, who needs to put on some muscle and some meat. It's the perfect level for him to step into, I think.
D-Mace and I, as dads, you can remember the kids going off to college. I'm curious, are the brothers going to be roommates, or are they going to be separate on the same hall? How is that going to work?
Yeah, they were just in Minnesota here. They had like a 3-week training window before the draft with their team, and they were roommates. So yeah, there were some funny stories coming out of that. I don't know. We'll see. I gotta see, let the dust settle on that and see how they navigated. But yeah, it's kind of fun. They all three of the boys are really close, and they spend their summers together training and skating. So it's fun. It was actually probably my favorite part of the whole draft, was seeing how excited the two brothers were for him. It was really cool, rewarding as a dad watching it. But yeah, we'll have to see on that.
let that play out.
Yeah.
I was curious with the growth spurt thing. Did you see it coming? Did you have an inkling that he could move up? That's such a rare thing. But you know, some people, you can do research these days, I guess, to see how tall your son's going to be, that type of thing. Did you see it coming?
You know, like, not really. Like, we had, like, in our family, we had a few family members that were kind of on that same track, that were kind of late bloomers. I was a little bit of a late bloomer myself, not to that extent. But, you know, you just don't ever really know. I mean, you could start seeing some signs there his first year at the development program, so a couple of years ago. So you're like, oh, well, hopefully he grows. And you just don't really know, you know. And looking back on it, it's one of those things that you're kind of like, if you have to learn to play the game at a pretty high level as a small guy, you know, you learn how to navigate traffic and how to make quicker plays and be smart. I mean, it kind of helps your hockey sense. And so when you do get that growth spurt, man, you got something pretty special there, I think. But yeah, we didn't really, you didn't really know, but we were happy it came. I'll tell you that. He was.
the U.S. development program, of course, with the U.S. winning the gold, and the junior teams have done so well over the last few years. What do you think is the best attribute of the experience there?
Yeah, I think there's a couple. Like, first of all, like the training, like in the gym for these kids as they go through these periods of, like, you know, they're young kids and they're going through those years of growth. The off-ice training is awesome. I mean, they do such a good job. They train every day. They train really hard. So you do get a lot stronger, faster, bigger. The coaching is excellent. The competition level is really high, so it's difficult. But probably, like, the biggest thing for these kids as they go through their career, I think, is, like, they have to learn how to handle adversity. They're all coming from places where they're the best player on their team, and you make this team, and now you're competing every day with the best players in the country. But on top of that, you're having to play against kids that are much older and bigger and stronger. And so you go games without getting points, and you go games where you don't even get close to a win. And so learning how to kind of handle adversity and kind of just dig in and learn how to work through that stuff, I think probably for those kids that look back on it, that's one of the biggest things that they get out of it, and it kind of develop a thick skin and kind of a little bit more resilience as a person, I think.
We talk with Matt Cullen, former Nashville Predator forward, played over 1,500 games in the National Hockey League. Now, Matt, I've always told people about my son, he's the best parts of me. He's not the bad parts. Mm-hmm. He's all the best parts of me. What part is it that you see about your son on the ice that you think, man, that's just like me back when I was his age?
That's a good question. His skill level is beyond what I had. I would just say, he's a really driven kid. His exterior, you wouldn't know it. Probably he's a pretty calm, level-headed, even kid, but he's such a competitor. He's got an inner drive that is probably, I guess that maybe is what helped me to play as long as I did. And I think when I look at him, he doesn't take no for an answer. And he's a kid that if things don't go well, he'll just get back to work and find a way to make it work. That's probably what I'm most proud of with him. And that's probably what gets me the most excited about his future is just, I just know he's going to find a way to make it work no matter what. And yeah, so I guess that's probably that. I mean, the skill stuff and the skating is beyond what I was as a player, which is exciting for him. So I can't claim any of that. I'll give the athleticism to my wife. She's a pretty good athlete. So, but that's probably what I would say.
Matt, before we let you go, and I hesitate to mention this because Predators fans listening will probably be upset with me, but you were on the ice when Patrick Hornquist scored the Stanley Cup clinching goal for the Penguins in Game 6 against the Predators at Bridgestone Arena back in 2017. What do you remember about celebrating that with Wyatt and the rest of your family?
For us, it was a huge accomplishment. Obviously, being in Pittsburgh were some pretty fun experiences. It was a back-to-back Stanley Cup. So that was, for us, it was so meaningful. And for me, those were 2 years. When I finished in Nashville the 2 years prior, I actually thought my career was going to be done. And so those were kind of those years in Pittsburgh where it felt like a gift. I wasn't ever expecting to play that long. And so we ended up going to Pittsburgh and it worked out and we won a cup and then we won another one. So they were just like, honestly, those 2 years were years that were bonus years that we didn't feel like we were expecting. And so, it was a great experience. The boys were old enough to really, really understand what was going on and appreciate it. And they were all in on it, living and dying with every game. So, experiences that a lot of kids don't get. So they were, looking back on it, it was so special to do that with the kids. And it was bittersweet, obviously, being in Nashville. I had so many close friendships and loved the city and the fans were insane. It was like going to that building was crazy. The whole thing was awesome. It was a little bittersweet with some of the friendships we had, but overall for our family, it was just, those are some memories that you just hang on to forever.
Former Predators forward Matt Cullen has been our guest on D-Mace. Vingan and Donick, Matt's son Wyatt was chosen by the Predators with the 10th overall pick last Friday. Matt, it was great to catch up. Congratulations to your family, and I'm sure we'll catch up soon as we watch Wyatt develop.
Absolutely. Thanks. Good talking to you guys.
615-737-1025. Sorry to bring up some bad memories, Predators fans. But
you get it in there late. Like, everybody's feeling great, smiling. Exactly. Hey, what a great interview.
Well,
this is
awesome. I will tell you this.
It's like the record scratching of the needle.
I went onto Getty Images because I wanted to see if there was a picture of Matt and Wyatt and the rest of his family on the ice at Bridgestone Arena celebrating the Stanley Cup in 2017. And the first picture that popped up was Matt Cullen directly in front of Pecorine celebrating Patrick Hornquist's Stanley Cup winning goal. So
I still feel like they had an argument for goaltender interference there. And especially in the context of the Predators really scored a goal earlier in that game that got waved off because of just the
intent to blow.
I was I was just thinking, the human element. I was like, you could make up for this. You could balance it out. You took a goal off the board for Nashville. You can have a borderline call go against Pittsburgh, and we're still 0-0.
What?
No such wish.
615-737-1025. By the way, one texter says, ask Matt Cullen if he thought Philip Forsberg was offsides in game one. I forgot to bring it up. We're going to reminisce about
salt
something.
In the wound.
We are going to reminisce about something that happened 10 years ago today during the 5 o'clock hour, but I did not get that in with Matt. But we appreciate Matt joining us. We'll react to what he had to say. You can as well. 615-737-1025. We are broadcasting from the Busy Bee Plumbing, Heating, and Air Conditioning Game Nashville Studios, home of the $99 yearly Beehive membership, where the buzz is always about great service.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
D-Mace, Vingan, and Donick, 102.5. The Game. One texter says, who's in charge of the music today? I acknowledge your wrestling themes. That would be Connor Newt. The theme, Connor?
Night of Champions winners.
Night of Champions winners from over the weekend. So getting your wrestling fix on this hot, hot Monday. Ugh, it's so gross outside. I walked outside this morning, and immediately my glasses were fogged up instantaneously. It's that time of the year. Stay safe. Stay cool. We really appreciate Matt Cullen joining the program. He played for the Predators near the end of his 1,500-plus game career in the NHL. And his son, Wyatt, drafted by the Predators, 10th overall. Wyatt Cullen, by the way, just coming off the ice at Predators development camp. First day of practice was today. And Willie Donick, you will be calling the Predators development camp scrimmage on Friday.
Oh.
Yes, it's always a pleasure to do that. And I think just based on where the franchise is and where the prospect pool is, this will be one of the more noteworthy ones. I can remember a few years ago when they got Seth Jones, and you kind of had this feeling, Seth Jones is going to go right into the NHL. Like, everybody wanted to see him. And that's been a little over a decade. They've had a couple other exciting groups, but I think this might be, especially given that Igor Surin is here. I didn't know he's been here before, right after he got drafted, but being in the KHL, I can see him saying, I'm just going to stay in Russia. But he came over. Like, I think that's a great sign of how bad he wants to be a Predator to start next year. He's going to go to the KHL, I believe, and play out the final year of his contract there. But you're going to see the top guys on the ice. Pretty much they're all here. So that's including the guys they just drafted.
The Future Stars game is at 10:30 a.m. Friday at Fordyce Center Bellevue. We will be broadcasting that game live here on 102.5 The Game. Willie Donick on the call?
C-Mace and I will be doing the stream on the website. I believe there will just be a radio call. I'm guessing Pete will do it if he's around. Max Herz will be involved in the broadcast, I'm sure, probably Jay Moore. But we've traditionally done two broadcasts, a radio and a stream.
So you have options.
You got options.
On Friday, yes. Some of the notable names at Predators Development Camp this week. Brady Martin, Wyatt Cullen, Riker Lee, Igor Surin, Teddy Stiga, Tommy Blyle. Let's see, who else? Cameron Reed.
Yes.
So
all three of the first-round picks last year. Surin. So these are you're going to the top prospects here.
So if you need something to do to stay cool, talking about staying cool, I mean, it's going to be like 100-plus degrees this week.
I'm going to spend a couple hours.
There's nothing better than showing up to the rink when it's hot as hell outside in shorts, which I used to do all the time.
And I never understood how you survived, but
I am here.
But you layer up. You go in and put the layer on. It's very refreshing to put on like a sweatshirt when you've been out.
Sweatpants and a sweatshirt.
Yeah,
it's great stuff. By the way, now because of that last question that I asked Matt Cullen about the Stanley Cup Final in 2017, the text line is just full of people relitigating
your fault.
The 2017 Stanley Cup
you
Final.
You decided to rip the Band-Aid
such off. As Jackson, who says, what does Matt Cullen think about Sidney Crosby being allowed to throw a water bottle across the ice from the bench?
They missed it.
You deserve this.
I did deserve this, including this text, which is evergreen. Adam, shut up. What is wrong with you? That is the text message we received. So
you should respond with word of the day. I never got that today.
It's so hot outside, I forgot the word of the day.
It's frying your brain.
The word of the day is umami.
Not umami.
No.
I know somebody else said that was listening to it too.
So you just go ahead, you just went ahead and put it out
exactly.
there.
I just put it out there because I'm sure
umami refers to the taste sensation that is produced by several amino acids and nucleotides.
What?
And that has a rich or meaty flavor characteristic of cheese, cooked meat, mushroom, soy, and ripe tomatoes.
I thought it was like a board game.
Umami.
Yeah. No, that's what you say when you win. Umami! Yeah. I win!
No, I think you're thinking of Jumanji.
Oh, yeah. That's a movie.
It sounds like that, too.
The board
umami.
Game in the movie.
Yeah.
featuring Robin Williams?
Yes.
And then the remake with The Rock Kevin and Hart. Kevin Hart?
Yep.
Because the two of them can't do any movies without the other, apparently.
Hey,
but,
money.
Yes, well, Derek said what y'all are thinking.
Exactly.
I said,
as soon as you said it, everybody else said it, too.
It's really hard to incorporate the word umami into a sports conversation.
No,
but maybe I'll figure it out.
No,
I've got an hour and 15 minutes.
It's easy.
I've got an hour and 15 minutes. Chase McCabe, our fearless leader, has confirmed that there will be the normal radio crew on the radio broadcast of the Future Stars game. You can hear it right here on 102.5 The Game Friday at 10:30.
When you listen to Matt Cullen, mm-hmm. you can't help but just be impressed.
By the way,
the wisdom.
Great guy.
Mm-hmm. Great guy.
Great guy.
The wisdom is there. And I've always wondered, mm-hmm. Derek, and you asked him a great question of like, how does he see his son? Because, you know, we grew up watching our kids play. Mm-hmm. And like, hey, that reminds me of me. Or,
exactly.
Man, that's nothing like me. He's way better than me.
Yeah.
Or, you know, whatever. But I've always wondered, how does that factor into the evaluation by a Chris McFarland or Rob Blake or Jeff Kelty, who's running the draft? Like, it has to be a positive, right? Just knowing his experiences growing up and knowing the person, Matt Cullen. You're like, mm-hmm. I'll bet on that.
Well, it's the pedigree. And, you know, you have firsthand account of, you know, playing with his dad or coaching his dad, but then also the kids being around the rink and then watching them as they transition into their sport as teenagers and what they've become now. I think that gives you, that gives you a relief, one, that you believe you're drafting the right player because you know, you followed him for a long time and you know his dad, so his parents. So this has to be, and I've never experienced it in, you know, frankly, never will unless I have grandkids end up playing the sport that I played. But this has to be one of the most fulfilling things, at least one of them, where, you know, you see your son doing exactly what you did and he's excelling in it and being much better than what you were at the time. That has to be a sense of pride for dad, let alone just, you know, for a parent, let alone just for a dad.
Absolutely. And again, Matt Cullen played more than 1,500 games in the NHL. I believe over 21 seasons.
Whew, goodness.
Won the Stanley Cup 3 times. He is third all-time in NHL games played by an American-born player.
21 seasons?
Yes.
Man.
Like, think about this.
That is a long time.
He won a Stanley Cup in 2005.
With Peter Laviolette.
With Peter Laviolette.
In Carolina.
And that was as a very young player. And then you fast forward, he won 2 Stanley Cups. After playing for Peter Laviolette in Nashville, he goes to Pittsburgh and at age 39 and 40 wins back-to-back. So he
wow.
won the first one at age 29 and then won 2 more at age 39 and 40. That's quite the span.
Well, I remember this past Stanley Cup final, Jordan Staal, who also won the Stanley Cup with the Penguins in 2009, it was, I think, the largest gap between winning the Stanley Cup and NHL history. But Matt Cullen has to be up there.
He's got to be in the top 10.
He's got to be up there. By the way, Matt Cullen made his NHL debut on October 28th, 1997.
Wow.
For the Mighty Ducks of Anaheim.
That was the season before the Predators.
He and I came in the league at the same year. Yes.
Wow. Matt Cullen debuted in the NHL before there was a Nashville Predators franchise. And I agree. The Predators, the people over there, they know Matt. Not just for the time he played with the Predators. Of course, they know him intimately from that time. But just because of how long he played in the league, mm-hmm. I know there is a lot of respect for Matt Cullen. And I do think that had to play a factor in drafting his son. Of course, you're drafting Wyatt Cullen for his skill and his potential. But knowing that his dad played, again, more than 1,500 games in the NHL, won the Stanley Cup 3 times, was a beloved teammate everywhere he went, that has to factor into it. Nate on our text line says, if the Predators make the Stanley Cup final with Wyatt Cullen against the Penguins, I'm putting my house on the Preds to win it all due to karma.
I take it.
I think, I don't want to go back through all of that, but
we are
no
going
question.
To turn the clock back in just a moment. But if you want to go right ahead,
there's no question that that is still a sore spot from a lot of Preds fans.
Okay, I want to ask you something, Willie. Are they getting better development? Because I think you did ask the question about development at the college level, you know, and how that all goes and how it's changed. But is it better for Cullen to be at Minnesota rather than to be at a AHL team or something like that?
That's a really good question. I think he had, and Adam, check with this, because both of them, he just said his son at a normal age is at the normal age of a high school senior. So I think he could have gone back to the National Development Program for another year and then go to college. But he decided to go ahead and jump in as a very young freshman, which Matt Wood did. He entered the University of Connecticut way back a few years ago, and he was one of the youngest players in the NCAA and excelled, and his draft stock went up. So I think that's what you're balancing. Do you want to continue to play against kids your same age, even though it's the elite players your age, or do you want to jump up and play college hockey where you're going to practice more? You're not playing that many games, but you're playing against guys 4 or 5 years older than you in some cases.
And
in the Big Ten with crowds, the games really mean something. So I think it's a balance. They all offer different things. But I think, as he said, a lot of the best players at that age are gravitating towards college hockey now.
I think because you get a more well-rounded player, I believe.
Yeah.
Because now you're interacting with people not just on a hockey team, but throughout campus.
And you're on a campus.
You don't have to be an adult, so to speak.
Yeah, you're in a great environment with all your peers and things like that.
And without getting too much into the weeds, sometimes players who play junior hockey, because of the rules that are currently in place, if they don't stick in the NHL, they've got to go back to junior. And a lot of the time, those kids, they've graduated from junior. They're too skilled for junior. And you're wondering, okay, how much development are they getting when they're just going out there and owning people?
Yeah.
You know what I mean? So, you know, it is a really interesting debate. I am not intimately familiar with the college hockey in terms of development and all of that, but the fact that Wyatt and his brother are going to be playing at Minnesota, where Matt is going to be coaching as a player development coach, I think that can only do wonders. And we'll be watching Wyatt Cullen very closely. And if you are in town, you can watch Wyatt Cullen very closely this week at Predators Development Camp, the Future Stars game on Friday, Fordyce Center, Bellevue. You can listen to it here on 102.5 The Game starting at 10:30. 615-737-1025. Quickly, Andrew says, I worked for the Predators from 2014 to 2019. Was, of course, in the building for that devastating Game 6. My memory is the next day I went to work, and the first picture I saw at the Fordyce Center that day was a picture of Patrick Hornquist on the wall in a Preds uniform. Thanks for bringing back this memory, Adam. Look, I'm sorry. I am.
And only Adam went there. The interview was 90% done. He had time for one more question, and he decided.
It was 99% done.
Yeah. And he decided the last question, we're going to bring up the Penguins winning the.
Okay, you know what?
Hey, the callers and the texters are calling you out.
Okay,
man.
You know what? We're going to turn back the clock. We are going to turn back the clock 1 year further coming up next, because today is the 10. Oh my God, I can't believe I'm saying this. The 10-year anniversary of a seismic event in Nashville sports history. I can't believe I'm saying this because I remember everything from that day. And it was 10 friggin' years ago. We'll get to that next. 615-737-1025. Willie Dunick, Derek Mason, Adam Vingan, 102.5 The Game.
Hey guys, it's Ryan. I want to tell you about my new pastime, Chumba Casino. Chumba Casino has been around for over a decade, delivering the most fun you can have online. Play social casino-style games for free anytime, anywhere. So sign up at chumbacasino.com.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 21+.